Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host, Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. On today's episode, we have a news and notes roundup for everyone. Hello, if you are joining us live. Quick reminder before we get into everything, download and follow us wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to us on YouTube so that you never miss out whenever we do go live. If you have questions for us, leave us a five-star rating review on Apple Podcasts with your question, and Lisa and I will answer it during a mailbag segment. It's off season. We're looking to bring that back. We want to bring that mailbag segment back into A3. We've got to chat a little bit about some roster news, you know, that we saw drop over the course of this week. Happy to do that all with everyone joining us live. And of course with you, Lisa, how are you doing today, buddy?
I am good. Excited to be here chatting with you about this. We're both gearing up for the Men's World Cup because we'll be doing a little bit of coverage on that as well. So it's good to dive back into NWSL stuff on this Thursday. We're kind of hitting with the Tuesday, Thursday off-season cadence for those that join us regularly, Tuesday, Thursday mornings going live on YouTube. And that's when I'll be dropping the episodes later today, as soon as I can get it downloaded, edited, and out there as a podcast. So thanks everyone for joining in and listening. But this new cadence is nice for us because then we get to do a little bit of Men's World Cup on the Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then we stick with the NWSL stuff on Tuesday, Thursday, and all the women's soccer news with Super League. But the offseason, the free agency, there's a lot happening, and it's nice to kind of recirculate with you everything that's been going on in the last couple of days and bring that to our listeners.
Yeah, I'm with you. I know when we last linked up, it was Tuesday. Good to have the programming note for everyone joining us today and in future episodes in the off season here. But when we did go live on Tuesday, one of the things that we were trying to keep an eye on was the roster, any sort of roster announcements or any sort of big free agency signings that might have come along in the pipeline. And here we are a couple of days later, and we've got some new things to chat about. Some moves were made, perhaps, you know, not as chaotic as we anticipated. I do remember when we went live during that previous episode, I made a wish and I said, hey, I'm hoping for some wild days here, a wild deadline day here for free agency as it kicked off. But we really didn't get a lot of chaos. Really didn't get a lot of, you know, too many wild headlines circulating around the league and free agency. And, you know, maybe that's what happens when it's the first ever of its kind, right? First ever free agency period starting this off season, starting, you know, with the announcement of the CBA earlier this year, that free agency period was going to be included within that collective bargaining agreement. So we were anticipating some things, you know, hoping, you know, bracing yourself for the worst, hoping for the best. But I would imagine that with the lack of kind of major news, and it's more sort of the regular offseason initial roster moves, there was perhaps one significant move that may have impacted you if you were a Gotham FC supporter or a Washington Spirit supporter, if you were sort of keeping an eye within those two spaces. That is the news that we are going to start with. The name that did capture headlines during that evening was Kelly O'Hara, United States Women's National Team defender, announced her move on an episode with Men in Blazer. O'Hara is going from the Washington Spirit and will be joining New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. A bit of a return for O'Hara. Yeah. The last time, this is not the first time that she's ever played with a New Jersey side. She was with Sky Blue FC for the majority of her NWSL career from 2013 through 2017, and eventually now making her return with the rebrand, newly rebranded, right? Gotham FC. So it was cool. I liked it. After having a whole day of just sort of clubs kind of making their roster drops, there wasn't a big player move, a player that came out and said, hey, I'm taking my talents to XYZ club. And then we got that later that evening with this move in O'Hara. What were some of your initial reactions when you saw the news drop, Lisa?
I mean, I love that Kelly O'Hara did it in style, right? Yeah. Like, this is the very first free agency window in the NWSL. And she became the first player to act on that free agency and take this move. And so she wasn't just going to tweet out a picture of her with the New York City skyline in the background and say, hey, I'm going to Gotham. She went all out with it. And I think that's something that's really special, because this is a huge deal for the league to have free agency for a player like Kelly O'Hara, a U.S. women's soccer legend, who has been, as you said, formerly with the New Jersey side, formerly Sky Blue, for 5 years of her career, to be returning and going home after winning an NWSL championship with Washington Spirit. So the fact that she got the gear, she went on Men in Blazer, she did a big like sweatshirt reveal where she stood up and put it on and showed off that she was going to Gotham, and then proceeded to do like a bit of a photo shoot. We got some stuff with Attacking Third, with Gotham, just going all out in this trade. So like that side of it, I loved, because that's how it should be celebrated. And that's how it should be so over the top. And then the fact that she is the only player to announce any trades on the day, it like really centers around her. If there was like three or four players also making moves, maybe it wouldn't be as like, this is the craziest thing ever, but it was, because she was the only player. She did make it such a big deal. But I think looking at like the details of this trade is a little bit interesting. It's a multi-year deal for O'Hara with Gotham FC. She will be heading to a Gotham side that needs a little bit of help. They need help. And to bring a player like Kelly O'Hara to this team is a step in the right direction. I'm looking at it from Gotham's perspective first, right? And for Kelly O'Hara's perspective first, because this is a player that is a veteran in the league. She's also played in this area before. She understands how to win championships. We just saw her do it most recently in 2021 with Washington Spirit. She's been on the national team. She's been dealing with a bit of like lingering hip issues. So I think that's something to kind of be aware of. She's 34 years old. So it comes down to like managing her game at this point. But going to a side like Gotham that had a pretty bad 2022, they had a bad season. They didn't have a lot of depth. They couldn't generate a lot of consistency on the pitch. And they also got some huge investors, right? You look at Manning, Bird coming into the ownership group. So now they've gotten a little bit more credibility in their front office, right? A little bit of bulk in the money sense. So they can bring on a big name player like Kelly O'Hara. And as a defender, moving to Gotham, remember that Gotham traded away Caprice Didasco, their Iron Woman from 2021, their player that was so consistent on the back line for them, traded Didasco to Houston. So that opened up a really big gap in the right back position for Gotham. who better to fill it than Kelly O'Hara? I think it's a great move for Gotham, a great move for O'Hara to go and play. Also, Allie Krieger is along the back line. You look at the history between those two players on the national team and all their time that they've spent together. I think that partnership is one that will not only be really good for the back line of Gotham, for those players individually, but also to help those around them. Gotham just re-signed Mandy Freeman. There's like a big bulk of defenders there now getting Kelly O'Hara into this mix. Now, Sandra, I also want to talk about the Washington Spirit side of it, because Washington Spirit let go of a great defender in Kelly O'Hara. And I'm not sure how hard they worked. I don't know the ins and outs of the deals or if O'Hara was, I am getting out of here. I'm going to New York. That's where I want to be. It's where I want to play. I obviously don't know the details of that, but this is a really big loss for a team like Washington Spirit that also had a pretty bad 2022 season. I mean, you look at both of these teams, Washington and Gotham, like they didn't do too hot last year. So it's in terms of that, maybe like a lateral move for O'Hara, but I think that Gotham is a team that really is on the build. And this past year, it was a build, right? They got rid of their coach midseason in Scott Parkinson. They brought on Hugh Menzies as an interim. Then they signed Juan Carlos Amoros from Houston. So now they've got the head coach. They've got a big name player like O'Hara in place. It's on the up and up for Gotham in my mindset.
Yeah, I think when you're sort of comparing them side by side in that aspect, it poses a win for Gotham automatically. I'm with you in terms of trying to fill some gaps on the pitch for Gotham FC. Losing Didasco, who at that point, you know, was the reigning defender of the year coming off that 2021 season, and trading her to the Dash, it sort of left a little bit of a question mark, like what's going to happen, you know, in this position here. I also think it's an important point that you made about, you know, O'Hara's history of injuries. Unfortunately, it's something that has followed her kind of in this, you know, the latter stages of her career. You know, she's been sidelined in the past with some ankle issues, and, you know, currently the hip issue that you're bringing up. So there's also, I think, maybe a little bit of a question mark there in terms of like how they are going to navigate this next phase of O'Hara's career. Because look, I'll note it. The internet is forever. In a now deleted tweet, when the announcement by Gotham for Kelly O'Hara, it stated that it was a multi-year deal. That tweet no longer is on their timeline. It's just as welcome to O'Hara for Gotham. But yeah, I do wonder what that looks like for O'Hara, you know, in the future. Is this a 1-year/1-year option? Is this a 2-year and then an option? Is this a full 3-year kind of deal with an option? We'll see. I think the details of that have yet to drop. I don't see it off of Gotham's website at the moment, but I am a little curious about that. Like, how are they going to manage a veteran's minutes like that, especially in light of a World Cup year? We've been talking constantly about how the buildup to this World Cup is down to months, mere months. We're talking 8 months up until this World Cup. O'Hara, one of these players who has been mentioned by Andonovsky in various press conference whenever he is asked about that injury bug that currently is plaguing the United States women's national team, that this is one of those players absolutely within the back burner of the coaching staff's mind in terms of getting them to a place where they are able to compete at a national team level. So I think it's going to be an interesting balance. I think what this move does for Gotham is it actually is going to provide them a lot more in the locker room and off the pitch versus your week-to-week, possible multi-match week type of season for the team moving forward. Now, do I believe that Kelly O'Hara is going to play for Gotham in 2023? Yeah, I do. I think if you're a pro athlete who's, you know, in view of a World Cup and trying to prepare for that, you absolutely want to get regular minutes, consistent minutes. Try to, you know, make sure that you're match fit for the biggest tournament in the world. So I do anticipate, if healthy and in the right place, O'Hara does see time with Gotham. But I don't know what that's gonna look like after a World Cup, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you said it, bringing that leadership into the locker room is also huge, because that's something that I think lacked last year with this Gotham side. You also look at the end of last year, right, late August in the season, Gotham signed 20-year-old, the young Brazilian, Bruniha, I believe is the name of her. She's also a right back. Now, she never got to come over and like do too much with Gotham, really get established with this Gotham side yet. But I think to have a 20-year-old Brazilian international playing in that right back position, and then bring in someone like Kelly O'Hara, who's also a right back, that partnership is going to be really, really crucial, right? Who else do you want a young 20-year-old learning from than a superstar veteran like Kelly O'Hara, who has played that position in World Cups, in Olympics, winning NWSL championships? So I think it's a really good long-term decision for Gotham to get a player like Kelly O'Hara for this year leading into the World Cup. She's going to contribute. You know that. She's going to go all out. But then moving forward, how she really leads and helps the younger players get acclimated, learn the league, any young player that comes along. I mean, Kelly O'Hara is a veteran and a person and a player that teaches them, brings them under their wing and says, hey, this is how you be a professional. This is how you handle these stressful situations. This is how you play in the game. This is how you conduct yourself in interviews and in locker rooms. She's one of those players that'll do that on and off the pitch. This is a huge get for Gotham. I think it's a great move for Kelly O'Hara. It's a rough let go for Washington Spirit for sure.
Yeah, I think coming out of that announcement, you saw like an immediate response from the Spirit as well. We heard from Spirit owner Michelle Kang, and we also heard from club president Mark Kirkland. It's just very quick, you know, wishing, you know, Kelly O'Hara well. It was very quick statements that hit the media's, you know, inboxes, sort of adjacent to that late night announcement by O'Hara that she was going to make the move from the Spirit to Gotham FC. So yeah, not a ton within it, you know, just saying, hey, thank you for, you know, the time, just praising O'Hara in terms of being, you know, Kang specifically touching on the notes that we're talking about, that she's a player who is not only like loved by fans, but had a huge impact for the Spirit and the DC community. So I'm with you. I think we all sort of saw what a player like O'Hara can bring to a locker room when the Spirit went on their incredible run in 2021 all the way to the championship final. And I'm with you 100%. I think that's something that this Gotham team desperately needs as they try to get back into the postseason, because to go from, you know, just finally clinching a sixth spot in 2021, getting eliminated in the quarterfinal, and then going on the 2022 that they did, you have to anticipate or have to imagine that was a bit of a disappointment across the board for the players themselves, who were, you know, having to navigate that season, and the front office who, you know, is tasked with putting together a successful path for these players, you know? So I'm excited to see. It almost sort of feels like maybe this is the first, right? Perhaps this is the first of moves that we're going to see from Gotham in this offseason. That's a little bit what it felt like to me.
It is it's the step in the right direction. It is the first step of hopefully many to come for this Gotham side. Honestly, I'm going to take it as the second step, because first step was signing Juan Carlos Amoros as the head coach. It's a couple years, right? I think he's 3 years there. He got a 3-year deal with Gotham. I think that in New Jersey, New York, Gotham saw what he did with Houston Dash. He turned that team around mid-season after they had gone through two previous coaches that year and took the Houston club to their very first NWSL playoffs. And now they bring him to Gotham. I think that's the first step. Getting Kelly O'Hara is the second step. And if we look ahead a little bit farther, we talked about NWSL announcing their draft in January in Philadelphia. It's back in person. We went through the draft order. Gotham FC has the number one draft pick. And if they can do anything with that, we saw how the number one draft pick went in 2022. Naomi Girma ends up becoming the huge superstar, taking her team expansion side San Diego into the playoffs, winning awards at the end of it. So I think that this is a step in the right direction for Gotham. They're on the path to turning this team around from being losers in 2022 to hopefully being on the other side of that 500 and being winners the next season.
We love a worst to possibly first storyline.
I'm not saying.
We'll see. No one was saying it about Kansas City, and then we had to start talking about it in that type of way. So
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Greetings, fantasy warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together, we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
So let's maybe pivot a little bit while still sticking with Gotham, because while O'Hara was the main free agency kind of combo breaker at the November 15th deadline, what we ended up seeing out of every club, all 12 teams making their offseason roster statuses. So we saw all 12 clubs drop, each of their current rosters in form. We saw some clubs have very few players listed across their current roster shape. And then we saw some clubs with hefty amounts of, numbers of players on those teams. And within each of these announcements, there were common threads, right, across all of them, all 12 clubs listing players who were in place and in contract for the future in 2023 and beyond. But we also saw within some of these announcements that there were players who were waived, that there were current contract options that were extended to certain players, that there are still some ongoing negotiations with players who happen to still be free agents on, listed on that free agency list. So within all 12 of the clubs, we saw some of those common threads throughout them. So maybe let's take a look at some of the things that surprised us across the 12 team announcements. Maybe let's stick with Gotham. Obviously, O'Hara, the news of O'Hara coming that night after they solidified most of their roster going into this offseason. I thought it was pretty cool that in sort of having somebody like O'Hara, announced as someone who's likely going to be playing within the outside back position, they also extended offers to somebody like Sabrina Flores, who has typically been utilized in that outside back position as well. Paige Monahan also got a new offer. The club also exercised 2023 contract options for Taryn Torres, Ellie Jean, Kellyanne Livingstone, hence the handcuff. And they specifically noted how McCall Zerboni and Estelle Johnson are out of contract officially now with the club and are listed as free agents. So I think that's what we're alluding to a little bit. We're just like Kelly O'Hara just sort of felt like the first and or possibly second piece to this offseason puzzle that Gotham is currently putting together. In terms of, the other 11 teams, though, you know, who had to also drop some roster decisions in the offseason here. Was there any other team that kind of stood out to you that made you raise your eyebrow a little bit, Lisa, and say, what are they doing here?
I think looking at a team like Washington Spirit announcing their roster, I mean, we know the big loss of Kelly O'Hara, her going to Gotham, but also seven other players were not returning for the 2023 season. I think it was just a little bit interesting to me to kind of look at that and dive into that, because this is a Washington Spirit side that also needs to revamp from last year, right? You go from winning the league in 2021 to not even competing for a chance in the playoffs at the end of the 2022 season. So there needs to be a lot of change happening there. Washington also doesn't have a head coach at this point, right? They're one of, I think, three teams in the league right now, along with Orlando Pride and Houston Dash, that are still in search of a head coach. So that also possibly changes things. But when Washington Spirit announced their offseason roster, there were seven players that left, Devin Kerr, goalkeeper, being one of the big ones that played every time Aubrey Kingsbury was not available this year. She played every single game that Kingsbury wasn't there. So I think that's pretty interesting that now they just lost their backup goalkeeper in Kerr. And Aubrey Kingsbury is a player that has been in and out of U.S. national team camps. Yep. And heading into a World Cup year, yes, Kingsbury did not get called into the most recent camp in November when the United States played against Germany, but we don't know what that's going to look like moving forward, because Kingsbury has been consistently called in. The January camp, the United States is heading to New Zealand. It's often we see a big chunk of players going to that January camp. And if Kingsbury is a player that wants to try to get on that World Cup roster, and I imagine she is, she's going to be working really hard to get back in there. And in a World Cup year, you need backup goalkeepers. You need backup players, because teams are going to be losing them, especially a team like Washington that has historically had six, seven players gone missing during international windows. So now without Kelly O'Hara, that changes things a little bit. But I was just really shocked to see that they let go of Devin Kerr, who's your solid number two goalkeeper at Washington.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, seven's a big number to say, hey, we are waiving X amount of players from this franchise. But within that, you know, again, talking about options that they have extended to players like Sam Staub, Jordan Baggett, Dorian Bailey Feist, Anna Hefferty, you know, Maddie Elwell, Tara McKeown. These are players that we saw in light of an incredibly difficult season for this Washington Spirit side in 2022, who were regular featured players, right? These are players that are saying, okay, we're moving forward with you all because we, you know, we see that you have sort of, you know, participated in multiple matches. And, you know, these are players who, some of them were part of that 2021 championship winning team. So I think it's jarring when you sort of see the lack of players currently in place, when you see a big number of players who won't be returning with the club. I think any offseason in that aspect is always a little bit jarring, where you're just kind of like, ugh, like there's going to be a ton of players here who actually receive some tough news, you know, that they're released or waived or are not going to be part or returning back to a club that they may have had some time with. You know, Gabby Vincent was one of those players for me with the Spirit. I thought maybe there would be a chance here for this player to see some.
I think Taylor Ulmer too.
Yeah.
I think Taylor Ulmer was a player that had a lot of consistent minutes in the midfield for this Washington side. Starting like Karina Rodriguez, there were a number of players that got minutes that are now no longer with Washington. And then you look at the free agents, Nicole Barnhart, another goalkeeper. So they're down to one goalkeeper and Aubrey Kingsbury. Amber Brooks and Tori Huster are also free agents. So where they'll move and where they'll end up is big. I think looking at the free agents that haven't re-signed with their clubs yet is also something that I'm like keeping an eye on. I mean, you have to look at O.L. Reign. They've got four free agents that are instrumental in how O.L. Reign and Laura Harvey plays, with Lauren Barnes, Nikki Stanton, Tobin Heath, and Megan Rapinoe. Well, Rain has said that they're in works and conversations with these players about returning, but there hasn't been an update yet about Barnes, Heath, Rapinoe, and Stanton. So those are other players. I'm like, hey, what's happening? Davinia? We've got no word on Davinia yet.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, look, we don't have an official word on Davinia right now, but, you know, let's pivot to North Carolina then in that aspect, because this is a team, you know, in their initial offseason moves, made it a point to say within the release that Davinia is one of these players, yes, who is a free agent, but they are hoping to bring back, and, you know, currently within ongoing negotiations with this player. We cracked a couple jokes about it, you know, on the previous episode this week on Tuesday, that, you know, if there are ongoing negotiations with somebody like Davinia, perhaps they're on pause right now because it's an international window and she's not even in the United States, you know, to sort of have those conversations with, was competing against Canada while, you know, competing with Brazil. So, you know, again, we have Davinia on our free agency board as the biggest targets of the offseason. But I think when you're a franchise and you know you have to announce your initial offseason roster in light of a new free agency period, the first time there's ever been a free agency period in the NWSL, that is something that you want to make a note of in your release. That's going to be seen not only by the public, but specifically by your club's supporters and their fans. You want to obviously say that you are making an attempt, that you are making an effort to try to get back one of the top players in the world right now. But within that as well, they also announced that they, you know, picked up seven players, you know, in terms of making their return. Marissa Bova, you know, Emily Gray, a lot of their young talents that they had targeted that they're going to try to bring back and return to the Courage. So I was excited to see Fukunagano on there as well. Obviously, Diana Ordonez, you know, you want to see all these young players that they sort of came, you know, that they carried through the previous offseason as part of their future plans. And we saw, you know, a number of those names within the initial roster moves here. But curious how some of the kind of in limbo statuses are right now. You know, there's Casey Murphy, Caitlin Rowland, Ryan Williams, Davinia, obviously Brianna Pinto, Meredith Speck, Brittany Radcliffe, you know, not, they're out of contract, but those were players that they specifically wanted to note that negotiations are ongoing. So I don't know if there was anything within the Courage that was necessarily shocking, but it's a work in progress. We didn't get a full answer, but we definitely have a work in progress status from the Courage for sure.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of moving parts on all ends. I think every team dropped their roster at this point. So anyone that's curious as to who's on their team that they're cheering, who's hanging, go check that out. I think one of another big surprises was Gemma Bonner and Racing Louisville. They decided to go separate ways, declining the option so that Bonner could play closer to home. She's from England, so imagine we'll see her kind of head back that way. Another team, Houston Dash, I think we should touch on and chat about, because this is a player that only has 12 players rostered at this point for Houston, and their free agents, Elizabeth Eddy, Kelly Ferguson. There's a lot happening there. What are your thoughts on Houston?
You know, I was really curious to when Houston dropped their initial offseason roster, because this was one of those teams that we were talking about that I thought was going to really try and solidify some things in the offseason, because we saw once the Dash got eliminated from the postseason, one of the first things they did was make sure that they re-signed Sophie Schmidt, and they signed that player to a multi-year deal. We're talking 2 years with the Dash, and Alyssa Chapman as well. So they said, hey, these are a couple of players that we want to make sure that we get to sign on the line and ensure that they're with us for the remainder of the following seasons. And so when this got dropped, I was a little, I don't want to say like underwhelmed, but it just sort of felt like, hey, these are the players that the team is going to move forward with at this moment. I would imagine that it's hard or difficult to sort of retain certain players or try to make or carry ongoing negotiations when you don't have a head coach right now. I would imagine that that's a little bit difficult. Mm-hmm. But you know, Valerie Galvin was someone who I thought maybe they might try to retain because this was a player that they acquired, you know, mid to late season. And I think if you do that, maybe there's some intention behind it and that you're going to try to retain a player like that. But perhaps that they, you know, now that they're not bringing her back, perhaps that was like a little bit of a high risk, high reward. They're like, hey, maybe we're going to take on this contract for now. And hopefully this will pay off for us as we continue to, you know, try to make this march to the postseason. But they're not bringing back the French international on a contract option. But you mentioning, you know, Elizabeth Eddy, Carly Farquharson, right? Free agents. But, you know, Bree Vasali, one of these players who, you know, they've decided that they're not, you know, hey, thank you for your service. We're not going to bring you back for 2023. I just sort of feel like we blinked and now Bree Vasali has been like rotated out of a Dash roster where maybe at one point was viewed as a part of a younger core of players that this franchise was going to try to build a little bit around. And so, you know, obviously Vasali, part of that 2020 Challenge Cup victory with Houston Dash. And now, you know, we're going to have to see if she's going to be picked up by another team or if maybe, you know, she has ties back to Europe. You know, this was a player who initially was drafted in NWSL but went overseas. So we'll see. I'm curious if there's a team out there that is looking to add some midfield depth, perhaps. And maybe they look at a player like Bree Vasali. But I don't know if we're going to get any additional moves from this Houston Dash side in this kind of near offseason window. I'm curious if maybe the next round of moves that we see for the Dash might be closer to and or around the draft. Because like I said, it's tough to perhaps try to throw a pitch to a player in terms of recruiting or luring them into your organization when you don't have a head coach in place. Yeah. Right. So I'm going to keep an eye on that for sure.
Yeah. I think the teams that are all looking for head coaches, it's going to be a little interesting. I think Houston's a team I'm definitely keeping an eye on as to who's going to be their head coach and what players they're going to acquire, what spots they need to fill, who they might go after in the draft, what college players they might look to acquire. I think Orlando's another team that I'm really keeping an eye on. They've got to get a coach and they've got to turn things around. They went through a bit of turmoil last year as well. They had some good bright spots and bright moments. I think Seb Hines coming in as the interim head coach helped that Orlando side, but how do they move forward? How do they take a step forward from the trenches that they've been stuck in a little bit? You look at the roster and the players that they have on their team with Marta, they've got Maggie Doherty Howard. They've got big names, right? They've got players that can do things, but it's putting all those pieces together. I think as we approach this offseason and continue to move forwards and through it, there are teams that I'm keeping my eye on. It's Orlando. It's Gotham. What else are they going to acquire? Who else is going to come to Gotham and Houston? That's a big one for me. Angel City a little bit too. Where is their depth going to come from? Because they didn't have a lot of depth last year. Frank Hume did not use a lot of depth at Angel City. So are they going to make their team a little bit deeper, have a little bit more versatility, have more weapons coming in off their bench that they play with? Those are big teams. And then, I mean, Chicago. what's happening there? There's a lot of question marks still around the Chicago side.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, it's funny in terms of watching or sort of looking side by side of all the 12 teams that have sort of put out their end of season roster moves. You look at Chicago and they've got the most one of the teams with the most players listed in their initial offseason move. So I think Angel City might be carrying around 20 or 20 something on the rosters. And I think Chicago's got a full 18 that is like solidified at this moment. I think they kind of we're already sort of painting the picture, I think, for further team into this offseason, making the announcement that they re-signed Yuki Nagasato through 2023. One of their free agency announcements was that they have reached an agreement with Aaron Wright, and these were two players that were listed on their free agency list, and they were, you know, two of seven, you know, so there's still a hefty handful of players that they are going to try to negotiate with. And similarly to some of the other teams making those roster announcements, that they are also trying to renegotiate things with the free agents to try to bring those players back. So whether it's a Vanessa DiBernardo or a Khalil Watt, a Danny Colaprico, a Morgan Gautreaux, et cetera, that they're going to try to, you know, retain those players so that they're interested in having those negotiations, you know, end with them signing in Chicago. But I think having two so far off of that free agency list, I think, is big for this Red Stars team. And the fact that they obviously are still going to continue building with players that are familiar to and with this franchise, whether it's somebody like an Alyssa Nayer or a Mallory Pugh. But I think that's what folks are going to try to take a look at. I would anticipate that, you know, that this is a team that will try to make their efforts to sign and get some of those free agents to re-sign back with the club. But I don't know how you get all of them. I think that will be a real kind of breakout storyline if somehow Chicago finds themselves in a way to retain every single one of those free agents. I think it'll be incredibly hard, because I think when you look at some of the talent that is available there, that some other clubs are going to, you know, want to try to make some offers as well. I mentioned how, you know, Colaprico might be one of these players that could be targeted by other clubs, plural, that this is a midfielder that would instantly sort of solve a lot of problems, I think, for a lot of clubs out there. I mean, listening to some of the clubs that you mentioned, we are absolutely keeping an eye on some of those teams who found themselves in that second lower half of the table, right? Like, what are those clubs going to do to try to ensure that they are in the playoff picture conversation in 2023? And I think you're looking at Chicago and a whole ton of their free agents and saying, hey, you're getting experienced players, players who have at least 6 years experience in the league. And not only that, there are players on this roster who have incredible playoff experience as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if those players are fielding different offers. And I think if somehow Chicago even retains, you know, at least, you know, two to three of the potential five remaining, that's going to be a big, big storyline itself. But it's, you know, we'll see. The next episode, we might be talking about how one of them signed elsewhere.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot still to come. I mean, this was a little bit of a roundup, but more trades will be happening. There's a lot of free agents that still have to sign. Where those moves are going to end up, or we have a head coach watch going, a trade watch going. Sandra, plug your article. You got NWSL trade tracker on CBSSports.com. You can go check it out there for Sandra. There's a lot still happening. We got the Men's World Cup coming up, and we're here to chat all about it for a long time.
And we're diligently waiting. We're on Dabinha watch. So, you know, obviously if something happens there, we can't wait to to hop on and chat about it with everyone. Free agency is here. The offseason is in full swing. Thank you all so much for listening to Attacking Third. We're going to keep you posted as things develop. Download, follow, listen to us wherever you get your podcast. You can watch us too. Subscribe to us on YouTube to get alerts whenever we go live. YouTube.com/Attacking Third. Reminder, if you have any questions for us, free agency, a wish list team, all-star games, whatever, anything. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with a question, and we will answer it during a mailbag segment. So we'll be back with so much more. For Sandra Herrera and Lisa Roman, this was Attacking Third.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.